Hi, and welcome to the Diablo podcast. I am your host, Xanth, and today I am joined by the one and only and our only guest, Macrobio Boy.
Hi, I'm their only guest. It's a pleasure to be here again. Thank you for having me.
Hey, thanks for being here. And we are brought to you by PureDiablo.com. Your home for an ever-growing Diablo community, an expansive wiki, and of course, this podcast. And thank you to everybody who's been tuning in, despite minor issues that have cropped up here and there. We definitely appreciate you coming back. We're sorting it out. We're getting there. We're doing all right. And thank you, Macro, for coming back again and again. You're always welcome. So we're going to talk D2R today, but before that, we do have some Diablo news. The return of Diablo Hells, Inc. It is hitting four cities across the country. You going, Macro?
Am I going? Hey, are they coming to Boston, Mass? I think they didn't vote for bots. They didn't, right?
No. I was pushing for Milwaukee. I wanted it in my hometown. Not going to happen. They did choose Seattle as the community vote. I think that's stupid, but that's silly. The Pacific Northwest is thrilled. So that's a no. You're not going to be commuting.
Yeah, I'm not going to be commuting. I don't have any tattoos yet. I would love to get a tattoo. I'm not sure what it would be, though. I'm definitely a little bit of a baby, so I still have the idea. It's like, it's got to be very special, because mostly I'm just terrified of needles is what it comes down to. But no, I would like to get some ink, maybe some there.
Well, for those of you listening out there, if it's in your city, I went to Chicago. I was actually number one in line. That's a humble brag. I just got up way earlier and drove through torrential downpours to be there because I didn't want to miss it. It was a phenomenal experience. You're in line, surrounded by a bunch of people who are just as excited about Diablo as you are. If you're listening to this podcast, chances are you're excited about Diablo. So you're going to be surrounded by people who are in person and by you that you get to talk to about the game, which is awesome. Get there early, though. Know your city. Know where you're going to go. Get there early, and you'll guarantee your spot. Unless the things have changed, you should be guaranteed a copy of the game, plus beta access, and a free tattoo. Ooh,
that's a really good setup. I like that they went with this promotion style for the event, because it's like you're getting your most diehard fans with really, really cool stories, and they walk away with, you know, technically part of the history of the game, right? Like, oh, I got the Diablo Inc. tattoo. I was in the beta. I've been waiting to play the game the whole time. You know, it's just like a really good story.
And there is an actual exclusive title that you will be able to display on your characters, labeling you as Mothers Inked.
I did not know that. Why? How did I not know that?
So you, if you are able to make it, not only will you have the permanent reminder, but everyone within the Realm of Sanctuary will know, and you will be a part of a very exclusive club.
That's actually super cool. I was saying everything I just said without knowing that. That's rad. Like, I love titles in games. Maybe it's an unhealthy obsession, but I do love them very much.
I think there's something appealing about it, where you want to kind of gather those things and have them displayed and to see them in the wild, and you know what they are. So that'll be one where you'll know that is somebody who committed the time to get out to whatever city it might be, to wait, and then marked themselves with a Diablo tattoo. And I will state, the flash tattoos will vary by location. There's usually a few staples that you're guaranteed to see, like the logos for each of the games and usually the classes, but then there's some special ones along the way, and they're really well done. And they're worth it. You can put it wherever. It doesn't have to be prominent. Mine is right on my ribs. I'm not going to show it on cam because nobody needs to see my nipples. That's just a rule I've had from day one. No nipples of mine on the podcast. Sorry.
Yeah. That's such a specific rule to have about podcasting, I think. I'll do the podcast, but I got one rule. No nipples. None of mine.
None of mine on the podcast. And if I can, you know, if there's a way down the road that I can figure out how to do and show the tattoo without showing my nipples, I will do it. But until then, and as I'm still wearing this robe, it's gonna be long and an arduous process to get there. And I'm worried about my abilities.
This is the
we didn't pre-show that. We didn't pre-show any nipple time.
I wasn't ready for a hashtag free the nipple sponsorship here. Oh, wow. This is a lot. That's great.
If we do pick up a sponsor because of that, I am all for it.
That's so good.
Anyways, it is a great experience. And if it is in a city near you, go do it. Get there early. Pack some snacks. Sunscreen, depending on the city, so you don't get burnt. There's nothing worse than getting a tattoo on a sunburn. You don't want that.
Sounds terrible.
Yeah, don't do that. But get out there. Go and do it. And with that knowledge, the last one is happening in April, which gives us a decent idea of a beta timeline. We've used this Hell's Inc. event before to try to gauge what we're going to see about Diablo. When the first one was happening, we didn't even have a release date. We knew there were going to be some betas coming up. This one feels a little bit more final as we're going to go into April. If you're getting beta access with it, it would seem weird to get beta for all of us to get access to a beta prior to this event ending. But I think it's realistic to expect that we might be starting it towards the end of April.
Yeah, because we know we're supposed to be getting into that beta. The event needs to get people into it with enough time for it to matter. And then if you're also a pre-order, you're in 4 days before the game releases. So that puts you at like literally the beginning of June. So we have this weird little small window where it's like, are we going to start the beta in the middle of May? Probably not. So like closer to the beginning or just the end of April. Yeah, it's like it's a very concise and clear timeline.
Right. And it seems like if we are starting end of April, early May, that's a good way to kind of get the hype train going yet again. Yep. Get more people talking, get more eyes on the game, and then get more people who might have been on the fence to buy it and be ready for launch on June 6th.
Yep,
which will be awesome.
That sounds like marketing to me. I've done sales. I've never done marketing, but that sounds like marketing to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just purely speculating. I've done no marketing. I've got no experience in this, but sure, logical. And to reiterate, if you can, go do it. You got plenty of skin. You can hide it easily. It doesn't, you know, just put it somewhere. You'll be fine. It is a good time. Also, I want to point out a tattoo on in general, like the size of that tattoo, the time it takes, you're talking $100, maybe $200. That they're just going to give you. Do it.
That's $200 you can spend on other stuff, like pre-ordering the special edition of Diablo 4. I'm sorry, I'm not here to corporate shill, but sincerely, like.
Well, it was honestly, you know, an easier justification for me to buy the collector's edition. Because I did the event, I have the copy of the game, the ultimate edition, already taken care of, plus the tattoo, where now the money that would have been for the game, I just passed right to the collectors. Mm-hmm. No qualms. So if you haven't bought it yet, it's another reason to give them more money.
Yeah.
Easy justification.
If it's something that you want to do and have the means to do.
Correct. We're not. Nobody has to do
it. A little bit of the voice of reason. A little bit.
But if you have the mindset that you're going to show up and get a tattoo, I think you probably want the collector's edition anyway, and it's easier to do this. And we're not getting paid by this. This is not, we're not shilling.
No. We're just fanboys.
Right. This is how I got to that thought process. This is how I justified it in my head. So maybe you do as well. Okay, Hell's Inc. aside, we've got some other Diablo news. We have a A new patch will be coming for D3. We're going to talk about that in a separate podcast next week with a special guest. That's all I can give.
Ooh.
I know, special guest. Who's it
Do I
going to
know
be?
them? Are they my friend?
You know a lot of people.
I know a couple people, I'd say.
You have a
But
lot
like
of
five
friends.
people.
So I'll leave it at a maybe.
All right.
We'll talk post
All
show,
right.
and then I'll
No,
know
post
for
show,
sure.
post show.
And we'll be
Post
like, oh,
show. And then
okay,
I'll
yeah,
leak on Twitter. It'll be fine. It'll be great.
yeah, of course. If you can stay out
Look, I'm a tired
that
man. I have a lot of work to get done. Look, okay, so for people who don't have the context, we were supposed to get this done, what, on Wednesday, 2 days ago, I think it was. We were supposed to get it done. This good man hit me up and I was like, look, I might not be awake by 9 o'clock tonight. That's I was not doing well. I hadn't been sleeping. And luckily, you were gracious enough to say, look, we can do it on Friday. Don't worry about it. So thank
I
you.
want to point out that you are giving us your time. If you're too tired, then we don't do it. If you want to do something, then we do. I'm gonna give you some shit, but that's it. Because I appreciate
That's
you being here.
that's warranted. Hey, it's warranted. I just need to I need to tell the people my side of the story. You know, I need them to walk away having a good image of me in their head.
And I get that. So what are we here to talk about if it's not the D3 patch? It is the new Diablo 2 Resurrected
Beep, beep,
season
beep, beep,
and
beep.
patch 2.6. It's kind of a big deal.
It's like it's weirdly a big deal, actually. It doesn't look like it, but it kind of is.
There's a lot, and you've been on the forefront of it. You've known about a lot of stuff that was happening with this well before us. With revealing some of these new rune words, which we should talk about in a second. But let's just get right to the heart of it. Am I supposed to hate the patch or love it?
Oh yeah, definitely. Only take my opinion. Don't form your own opinion. Whoever's listening, only take my opinion. I think this is a very good patch. I will address the elephant in the room. There's a big group of people who are asking for some quality of life changes, and that those talk about extra shared stash space, stackable runes, and currency. The only thing that I would say is I would just remind people that the developers back when we got 2.4 and people realized we were going to get changes to this game at all, pointed out the fact that like, hey, those things, we get that people want them. They're a little bit harder to implement than you might think, and we're not necessarily sure that we're going to prioritize them. So while they've never said, no, we're not going to do that, they've never said, yes, we're going to do it. I'm not saying it's never going to happen, but at the very least, just remember that like they never really committed to that. That's all I'll say. I think there'd be a lot of really good ideas. So you don't see a lot of quality of life changes in here. But we have a rather historic thing, which is the first nerf to arguably the most prolific and best build in the game, Cold Sorceress, Blizzard Sorceress. So we'll get into the nitty-gritty later, but we have a balanced patch where the Sorceress got nerfed, and that's a wild, wild thing for a patch that doesn't have a ton in it. So should you love this patch? If you are interested in like incremental growth of the game with reasonable changes, I think it's a really, really good patch. If you're looking for monumental changes every single season, which I'm a bit more on the side of, there are some wild changes. It's not as wide sweeping as 2.4, obviously, but I think this is, on average, a pretty average patch. I don't think you should be weeping for joy. I don't think that you should be crying in rage. I think it's pretty okay with some very notable changes that they made.
That was a little too reasonable. So I'm gonna lean into hatred.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's terrible. Like, where's the stuff? Give me Act 6. Let me play Diablo 3 and Diablo 2. I also want to be able to play Tetris in Diablo 2. I feel like there's a lot they really should be doing for me. And they
All right,
happen. So there you go.
now that a streamer doesn't like it, I'm gonna go the opposite direction. And I feel like I
This is
love it
too real.
now.
This is too real. I can't. I'm spiraling right now. This is too real for me.
No, and we talked a little bit pre-show. There, anytime a patch is happening, it seems like in D2R, there's no way to satiate the community just due to the fact that there are some that don't want to see any changes, and then there are those that want to see massive changes that, as you alluded to, would take a lot more time, completely destroying the meta that has existed for 20 plus years. Is not something that can happen, at least from my opinion, in just one patch. It needs a lot more time than that. However, there is a little bit of a sentiment. I did think it was a valid point that this is probably one of the, it's not the last patch that D2R is ever going to get, but it is the one that's going to preclude D4. So in terms of drawing more people and keeping them on, it may have underwhelmed in that department.
I think
But
that's really valid. Sorry, go ahead.
I would just say that also still is an unrealistic expectation that of saying like, hey, D4 is coming out, this patch needs to be the greatest thing ever, because it can't be, and it never could be.
It's to touch on that very quickly, because I do think it's a really important thing. Diablo 3 clearly got their farewell send-off patch. From everything that I've learned about the Diablo 3 patch that's coming, this it's worthy of being realistically the last major content update before the new game in the franchise launches. I'm not asking Diablo 2 fans to be just happy with what you get and, don't complain. Diablo 3 is the predecessor of Diablo 4. Diablo 2 is the predecessor of Diablo 3. Diablo 3 getting like a farewell send-off patch when Diablo 4 comes out makes a lot of sense for me. The remake of a game that had not been updated for over 20 years getting a similarly large patch just probably wasn't in the development cycle cards. Like, that's getting the resources together to do that for two titles that are both kind of the predecessor of the new game coming out is just like, I understand why this patch isn't bigger. I'm not saying I'm happy with it. I'm just saying I can understand it. And how okay you are with that obviously is a personal thing. But I promise there's really, really cool things in this patch once we look at them. Like two of like I think some of like the most monumental changes that they've made in the game since they re-released it, honestly.
Well, let's do that. Let's start digging into this patch just a little bit, and I think there are things I don't think we really need to talk about. The inclusion of the Terror Zones and Sundered Charms to offline mode. That, while it is a big deal, and it's great that offline players get that, and we could argue they probably should have had it before, it's awesome.
Probably.
It's not changing anything. It's really just taking the content from last patch and pushing it to offline. The bigger ones, let's talk about what you got to do. You got to reveal and be
To
one of the
reveal.
first people to talk about new rune words. And
New rune words, yes.
these rune words, and I say this as a bad player, mediocre player. They feel like they're targeted towards me. Like, I'm not going out finding bear runes all the time, but all the runes in most of these, I feel like I can get. That seems like a good thing, but maybe I'm wrong. You
I
know, I'm.
no, I love these rune words. I really, really do. It's not just so if we start with just the helmets,
Let's start with that.
especially with the changes that they made to the helmets, because I think they can't be overstated enough. These helmets say if you're in Nightmare and you are in Act One and you are dying because you don't have a resistance that you need. You can go make a helmet that you don't need to replace until hell difficulty. And that's cool. Oddly enough, your most casual players aren't taking a three socket helmet that they find and putting a Ral or an Athal rune in it. because it's very difficult to conceptualize how much survivability that gives you. But it's very easy to take Temper or Bulwark or even Cure at this point, now that has Cleansing Aura, and go, okay, this fixes this resistance for me. And I put it on my head, and now I don't have to worry about it anymore. I agree, for like min-maxers and speedrunners, we already had Lore, which fixes your lightning resistance and gives you a skill. I understand that. But they gave a lot of really, really cool options to early game melee builds, early game mercenaries, and early game players who are being like, hey man, I'm dying and I don't really get why. Now I can go make a helmet and now at least I'm not dying to that thing. And that's pretty cool. The Cure helmet gaining the Cleansing Aura is like secretly very, very nuanced and deep mechanically. Cleansing Aura gets a synergy bonus from Prayer Aura. So it means that if you have a Prayer Aura mercenary and you put Cleansing Aura on, not only do you heal from his Prayer Aura, but Cleansing Aura also heals you. On top of that, it removes poisons and curses. So all of a sudden you put a helmet on your mercenary and now curses aren't on you in the Chaos Sanctuary any longer. You're not just dying to random poison effects because you don't have any resistance or minus poison length. You're double healing from your mercenary. So now he's healing, he's staying alive more, and you're healing. Like, that in and of itself is just a very, very cool thing that has a lot of applications, even into the later game, if you're willing to play interesting builds. On Hearth, which is the cold resistance helmet, they put Cannot Be Frozen. The only sources that you had for Cannot Be Frozen were a Ravenfrost unique ring, which you just may never drop, a Death's Belt, so the Death set, it's a really early game set, and it's a belt that just says Cannot Be Frozen. If you put it on, it says Cannot Be Frozen, you're like, cool, I guess I don't have to worry about that anymore. And the rune word Wisdom, which was the helmet that they released in season one, for like the rune words that are now cycling into non-ladder, that one had Cannot Be Frozen, but that took a pull rune. This helmet, you could just go farm Nightmare Countess, put it on your melee character, now you have Cannot Be Frozen, and you still get to wear a belt. You don't need to find a rune master weapon. Like, the rune master unique axe has Cannot Be Frozen. Like, it's very hard to find Cannot Be Frozen in the game on items that actually have good stats. And now you could just make one. So now, boom, now you don't have to worry about that. Cool. And then obviously Bulwark is like actually a really good helmet and we'll see use into like the early late game. But this thing says 15% physical damage reduction and you can just make it out of some runes that you find on the ground in Act 1 Nightmare. And that's pretty sick. So I don't want to tell you, you're right. These are for bad players. These are for people who do not currently either have like the knowledge or the gear to solve their survivability issues. And you can just go force the game to give you these items. And that's really, really awesome for people who actually play through the game, play through single player, don't just get rushed to hell, actually sit down with like a couple of their friends and play 1 to 2 hours, you know, 2 or 3 times a week. They're like, oh, cool, I can actually survive in hell now. I don't know. There's such great additions to the game. And I saw a lot of elitism basically when these came out. And I'm like, hey guys, oddly enough, a lot of people play this game and a lot of people don't know what they would need to do without these items. And now they have them. So
yeah,
that's my little pedestal rant.
When I saw them initially, and then obviously with the changes, similar thoughts. I play mainly hardcore. I don't have the greatest luck when it comes to getting some of the drops I need. And if I'm able to solve some of those resistance issues early on, like these aren't meant to be the end game, be like the best in slot. No. But for a long time, I'm wearing a lot of really bad gear. And if I have to make less trade-offs and survive, I'm okay with that. I like having these options. And I get, and you're absolutely right, that there are some who are like, well, it doesn't matter. I'm going to rush through everything. It's not necessary. I want more on the end game. I want more reworked uniques. And it's not to say that that isn't valid criticism. Those things can definitely still exist. But adding in something else for other players that don't need what you're looking for isn't a bad thing. And I liked these additions.
Yeah, I think there's another thing, and this just came to my brain. There was a bit of feedback that I said that I saw, which was none of these rune words excite me enough to play ladder to get them. Ladder only rune words should be powerful. And that made sense back when you were playing LOD year 10, and you would have to play ladder to roll perfect spirit bases, roll perfect exile bases, and farm for like Indariels because that was a ladder only item. Ladder only right now basically means if we keep the same trajectory, every two seasons they rotate to non-ladder. They're not ladder only anymore. You can now make them a non-ladder. So I get that ladder only rune words is an enticement to play the ladder, but them saying, hey, they're going to rotate to non-ladder more often means that they can try to answer some of the gearing problems that people have with these items so that people who may not have enjoyed the last ladder season might enjoy this one now that they have more tools to be able to play it with their friends again in a more casual sense. Like, that's a good thing. Like, that's a good thing for the community of players, regardless of whether or not it shakes up the endgame meta. Oh, and on top of that, we got rune words that completely changed the endgame meta of Diablo 2. So, like, that's also pretty cool. But we're gonna get to those in a quick second.
So we got the helms, right? So where do you want to go next?
I think we should touch on Hustle real quick, because
Okay,
they
so
really made us.
I've seen a lot of discussion about Hustle. You need to explain to me why I need to pay more attention to it.
So here was the problem with Hustle. The Hustle weapon was so good that people didn't want to have to pre-buff with it, which I get. And the armor was so bad that no one was going to make it. So what they did was they took the power scale of the weapon and the power scale of the armor and went. And now they're both right here and they're both great. So the armor is a armor that you can put on to gain 65% faster run walk and 40 increased attack speed. If that's all it said, that would be bananas. That would be such a wildly interesting and like very good stopgapping gear for melee characters. Then they put +6 to evade. +6 to evade is an Amazon skill that says if you are running or walking and a melee or range skill were to hit you, you can dodge it. So you have a little dodge animation. It takes 8 frames. For people who care about that, it's about a third of a second. You can speed it up with fanaticism if you want to. And it means that the attack didn't hit you. It's like blocking. So if you've never played an Amazon, this is a really, really cool skill. Realistically, even with like a bunch of plus skills, you're only ever going to hit 50% chance to dodge, and it only works when running or walking. So it's when you're running away from danger or running towards danger or trying to run by danger, you have a chance of not dying, and that's sick for melee characters. Since it has all resistance on it as well, it's a really good option for hardcore. It's not the best option, but 40% chance to dodge while you're running by monsters with 65 faster run walk and all resistance on an armor you can just go make is actually kind of nutty. Now the weapon. You should be mad about the weapon. I want to see your angry face. So
I looked
it used to.
constipated at that, and
Yeah, I wasn't
that
gonna say anything. I'm sorry. I set you up. Again, we don't premeditate any of this, so like
Rush,
I
do
set you
not
up.
use that as
Don't.
the picture for
Thumbnail.
the video. I don't need that.
Absolutely. Absolutely use it as the thumbnail, please.
Don't you do it. Don't do it, Rush. Okay. Constipation aside.
So it used to say level 9 burst of speed, which was actually bananas. Like, that is way too strong, sincerely. The cool thing about it is that it opened up so many new weapon options, most notably for barbarians and Amazons, but even on stuff like Fireclaw Druid, Maul Werebear Fury Druid, especially in the early game, we're getting a bunch of increased attack speed that isn't item. Like, this is stronger than increased attack speed. It's called effective increased attack speed, and it's a direct modifier. So it says you are this much faster. It doesn't undergo diminishing returns. It's wild. On top of the increased run speed, which is also effective increased run speed, there's only like 5 people who care about the fact that I'm differentiating between these, but you know who you are. So these were really, really, really powerful. The weapon itself was garbage. Like, nobody would use this weapon. it had really low damage. It doesn't have any like increased chances to hit. It doesn't give you any attack rating. It doesn't ignore target defense. You wouldn't use this weapon as a real weapon, except on like elemental bow is on, but now I'm getting really nitpicky. Now the change is just a level one burst of speed, which is much weaker. And you have to really commit to using this item over something like call to arms in the end game for pre-buffing. That being said, Boazon will still use this, absolutely. Some barbarian builds will still use it. Even early game builds will still use it because they bumped up the damage and they added a level one fanaticism aura. Reason why that's so important is because fanaticism aura gives you attack rating, percentage attack rating, which is really, really strong. Gives you a little bit of enhanced damage, which is nice, and also gives you a constant source of increased attack speed. So if you're using this as a real weapon, you'll have burst of speed, fanaticism itself has 30 increased attack speed, and now it has about 200 enhanced damage, which with the fanaticism is more like 250 enhanced damage. All of a sudden, it's like actually worth using in the early game on a lot of melee builds, and it still has pre-buff potential, but it's not so strong that people will feel FOMO and they'll largely ignore it. So I think they really hit the nail on the head here. And then just like some quick sneak previews into some things I'm going to be testing with it is a summon necromancer using an iron golem to summon a hustle runeward weapon to get the level one fanaticism aura. Fanaticism aura at level one has a really, really small radius, but since your iron golem will be next to all of your summons anyways, it's like you running a beast runeward, but you don't have to. So now it's like you have a little bit of interplay there. It's kind of nice. It's a cool item. I've also tried considering using it on Act 5 Mercenary to get Fanaticism Aura on a melee character because you'll actually be in melee range with him. So now you have a early game option to get a pretty weak but substantial Fanaticism Aura onto your build, as opposed to waiting to build a Faith Runeward on an Act 1 Mercenary or waiting to get a Beast Runeward on yourself. So it's got some cool applications in the early game and in the late game. So I really, really like what they did with this. That was a lot.
That's how
influential an item like this can be just because it says Burst of Speed and Fanaticism. Like that's it. If this thing could say like level 0.5 Fanaticism, it would still beg the question, are there ways of implementing this into builds that we can abuse it? Like That's how powerful that aura is.
No, and I like hearing the other additions because this is a league that I really do not know where I'm going to start yet, which we'll talk about why later.
But, yeah, we will.
So hearing something like the Iron Golem Necromancer, I haven't played one in a while, that sounds intriguing. And to know that that's an option that can happen as early as level 39, as opposed to having to wait for much longer, is exciting. And I'm all for that. Now, there is another rune word that did pique my interest, and I assume we're going to go there next, which would be Mosaic. We've talked a little bit about Assassin.
And this thing is nuts. This thing is so nuts.
When we were talking about D4, we had joked about how the Assassin's combo points in general have been kind of a joke. And suddenly, here I am looking, going, maybe I want to try this because this is pretty intriguing. So tell me why I'm wrong.
Phoenix Strike Assassin is a brand new S tier build in Diablo 2 Resurrected that might be one of the best density clearing builds in the game, one of the strongest and tankiest builds in the game, one of the most interesting builds in the game. And putting two mosaics onto your character took this build from relative niche obscurity to something that I think you're going to see actually dominating the meta. Like, that's how powerful this rune word is. It's nutty. I can go into a lot of detail about next hit delay with the different martial arts skills and how you can only use certain charges with other certain charges or whatever. Here's what you do. You get 3 stacks of Tiger Strike. You get 3 stacks of Cobra Strike. You get your third stack or your second stack of Phoenix Strike. And then you walk up and you melt your actual hard drive, RAM, and GPU by obliterating the whole screen. If this thing doesn't like wreck the server day two, then somebody's doing something wrong. You put on two, you never use up your charges. They were so smart. They then added on, when you use a finisher, your charges are refreshed. So you walk into a game, and if you had theoretically infinite monsters, you do 10 seconds of setup where you go, Tiger Strike, Tiger Strike, Tiger Strike, Cobra Strike, Cobra Strike, Phoenix Strike. And then you just Dragon Flight and Dragon Talon your way through the solar system. It's going to be bananas. I feel like I can't do it justice without talking about so many different things, but I'll leave it at that because there's too much information. Quick note. One of the most substantial changes that they've made to this game, as you look at Mosaic, you'll see that it says plus to skill damage on it. Plus to cold, plus to lightning, plus to fire. That makes sense, right? Phoenix Strike does lightning, cold, and fire damage. Of course you wanted that. That never worked in D2. Martial arts skills, the vast majority of all the martial arts different charges did not benefit from elemental damage in any way, shape, or form. That's why you'd have like people being like Ormus robes, Phoenix Strike with facets. It wasn't doing anything the whole time. It did nothing at all. Some people knew about it, some people didn't. But now they have changed it so that martial arts abilities all benefit from elemental damage. And they made traps benefit from minus enemy resistance, which is the reason why Trapsin has newly reemerged as a legitimate S tier end game density farmer and ladder start character. People were screaming for so long, please, dear God, make these assassin changes. And they did. And I feel like I should have felt an earthquake, and I'm not. And maybe it's just because like not a lot of people understand why the changes were made. But traps, you could not make traps stronger by putting on elemental damage or minus enemy resistance. That's why you never saw a Trapsin with like a crescent moon or griffins. And martial arts assassins couldn't increase their elemental damage with all of the items that you think would. And now they do. The whole season is just going to be like, which assassin build is now the best assassin build? Because there's so much to test. The answer is Phoenix Strike. It's absolutely disgusting. During the PTR for this, when we were building our feedback, because initially this was only 25% chance to work, part of our feedback was it either needs to be 50% or 100%. So we modified the game files we modified these items so that they had 50% chance to not consume charges. And when we tested it, it was like unreal, the output of a Phoenix Strike Assassin on Player's 8 difficulty, regardless of the resistances of the monster. It's like, this is silly broken. It's actually too strong, probably, and I'm fine with that. Because martial arts assassins should have something, and this is it.
And again, we did talk about assassins not that long ago, and to see this now, this amazing turnaround is exciting. It's kind of where I've been leaning at the moment, and we'll go into the next rune word, but it might be my start. It might be where I want to go. Yeah. Trapsin is pretty safe. Feels like a great place to start, and then if I want to shift over to martial arts and do a respec later on, that might be it. I'm assuming you got to have a build guide for this at some point.
Oh, right? Oh yeah, it'll be there. Don't you worry. I am. Yes, it will be there.
Okay, good. Because I'm gonna need it. And
I'm gonna need it. Luckily, I'm not the one working on it because like I can tell you everything about the skills. I've literally never touched the skill Blades of Ice. I've never equipped that skill to a hotkey and hit a monster with it. Like, I have no idea what they do. Luckily, there are other smart people, on my team who do know stuff, though. So,
okay, good. Because, like I said, I'm going to need it. But this is an exciting rune word. It does seem to shake things up a little bit. So, shaking things up, let's go to Metamorphosis.
I like what they did with it.
Rune word.
Our Druid rune word. I really like what they did with it. So for people who didn't know, Metamorphosis says if you turn into a werewolf and hit somebody, you get a buff for 3 minutes. And then if you turn into a werebear and hit somebody, you get a buff for 3 minutes. Both of them are really cool. You get attack rating, increased maximum life, physical damage reduction of 20%, which is bananas, and increased attack speed. it used to be that you also got Crushing Blow if you turned into a Werebear and hit somebody. They moved that onto the item itself. So now if you want that Crushing Blow, you actually have to wear the item. So it's not just a pre-buff item, which I think was really, really smart for them. I think they did a good job with that. Looking at its applications, it really is like a min-max tool on where Druid builds. Like, you might as well have it in your Herodric cube and do it once every 3 minutes, because 30 bonus to attack rating and increased maximum life of 40% is pretty cool, especially on hardcore characters. And especially the physical damage reduction of 20%, pretty cool. It's still a good option for Fireclaw Druid. It's still a good option for Rabies Druid. It's just, you're probably not going to carry a Beast Rune Word to turn into a bear on an Amazon just to hit somebody to get the mark and then put away your beast and metamorphosis and then go be a Lightning Fury Javazon. You're probably not going to do that anymore. But for a little bit of time, that was an option, which you can still do, which I like. They also added on, so like the base item itself says all resistance and cannot be frozen, which allows you to actually argue whether or not it's better or worse than Jalal's, depending on your build. I think this is a really cool item. And I like the precedent that it sets, which is buffs in the game that don't come from skills that are in the game. I'm not saying that's the best thing, but it's a very interesting and new thing at all. So I like the idea that they're exploring a space where not everything is tied to, you know, this item doesn't just say give the werebear barbarian skills. You know what I mean? It says give somebody a unique thing if they use the item, which I really like. The problem is that when I was listing off Rabies Druid, Fireclaws Druid, I didn't say Shockwave Druid. You know, yeah, arguably my favorite Druid build. And it's because they realized what they had broken to make it be as powerful as it was, and they fixed it, and it's not my fault. It's not my fault. I didn't do it. It's not me. I didn't do it. I promise.
Okay, so let's go through the timeline here.
Okay.
Your first podcast with me.
Which was a great time. I had such a good time. It was a really good time, I think. I think we can all remember that.
Stop providing a distraction here. So your first podcast, we talked, and I was asking about, you know, how to make a successful hardcore druid, and you gave me some great advice. And somebody in the comments, and I apologize for not remembering, and I do want to thank you because you did bring this to the forefront, brought up the Shockwave Druid, brought up like, hey, this is, you should try this build. And then you went and did the math. You started digging in. I saw multiple videos about it.
It was only two, so yeah, that's
multiple.
It's a true statement. It's not a very powerful statement, but it's a true statement. I made two videos.
I feel like now you're nitpicking my argument here, but you did make multiple videos discussing this. So timeline. Okay. Shockwave Druid viable. Macro makes two videos. Next patch, Shockwave not. Okay. It's not your fault.
Let me explain. Because I know what happened. I know what happened.
All right. I think before we go into what happened, let's talk about the patch itself. Shockwave Druid is not viable any longer.
Right? Correct. Well, Shockwave Druid as a farming build is no longer viable. As a support build for a team play, you can still lay down 10-second stuns, massive Heart of the Oak, so that or Oak Sage, so that you can give a lot of health. You're a huge tank, so you can soak a lot of damage, a lot of different summons. Like, it's still a very good support build if you have a full team that's built around it. You can't go farm stuff with Shockwave Druid because they took away its damage. It does about 800. Max damage is about 800. It used to be 8,000. So it's a little bit weaker right now.
Just a little bit. And we talked pre-show, but I went on the PTR and I wanted to play a little bit with the rune words, and I was enticed by metamorphosis. I was like, hey, even in the last season, I couldn't find a Jalal. So I was able to trade for it eventually, but like, this is much more attainable. I'm excited for this. Let's see how it plays. And I took their build and I immediately reset it. I went to the Shockwave version. I went to the first terror zone that was available, and I was like, wait a second, something's not right. And I chalked it up to me being bad. Just I messed up somewhere along the way. And it turns out it's not that. It just doesn't work anymore. And we talked a little pre-show. So now you can explain why it's not your fault. It's somebody else's.
Thank you. Because here's the thing, people, regardless of what I say right now, people are going to hear Macrobio Boy thinks that he can force the developers to make changes, regardless of what we say. And I can't do that. I can just like, I can send them a pretty letter that's like, I would like it if this did this. And then I assume they use it to like fuel their the fire of their house, whatever. So here's the actual timeline. They intended to make it so that Strafe, the skill Strafe, now dealt 100% weapon damage and benefited from the attack rating on the skill and gain synergies when they did like the whole rework of physical boas on. To accomplish this, they actually added a new column in skill.txt, which was supposed to define Strafe as having 100% weapon damage. When they did that, for whatever reason, a 15% enhanced damage value was added in that same column, or at least one of the other columns, for Shockwave. So Shockwave, behind the scenes, was gaining 15% enhanced damage per skill level. That's how we got up to the 8,000 damage, whatever, on an endgame Shockwave Druid. Now, they actually have fixed Strafe in patch 2.6, which means that skills.txt is properly representing the data that it needs to for Strafe to work the way that it's supposed to. Which means that they fixed the skills.txt coding, which means that Shockwave, which was never supposed to have this thing, also got fixed in this process. This is a little bit conjecture. I haven't looked at the new skills.txt because we can't download that yet. But that is what has to have happened. Them resolving the bug that they instigated by putting in this Strafe change is causing Shockwave to no longer have a bugged functionality. So it wasn't me. Now, I promise you, with the very small amount of relative clout that I have with anybody, I'm actively lobbying to get Shockwave to be officially buffed with the changes that we saw back in 2.4, because I think that Shockwave is literally the most accessible, hardcore friendly, beginner friendly, and intuitive build in Diablo 2. I love this build so much. I hate the idea of it being taken away. It's easily my favorite druid build, and I'm at the very least trying. I hope that it, you know, I doubt it will go in for 2.6, maybe 2.7. They go, hey, you know what? We're gonna make Shockwave a cool build by implementing this small change that everybody seemed to like. So if we could just make some constructive noise, touching on those points, accessibility, hardcore friendly, beginner friendly, easy to play, controller friendly. You use one stick to move around, you use trigger to shoot Shockwave. It's a twin stick shooter at that point. Or a single stick shooter. It's such a good skill. I hope that they revert it or codify it rather. But it's not my fault, so I'm sorry.
Well, if it's not your fault, you don't need to apologize, but I don't know. There is the developer's note, and I want to read that. We wanted to implement targeted changes and buffs for the druid instead of having a particular druid build be strong because of a bug. And the natural counterpoint is, what targeted change did you implement to replace it?
Stay tuned for season 4 of Diablo 2 Resur. Yeah, I don't know. It really feels like they wrote that, it made sense. And then like you know the meme where everybody's sitting in a boardroom and the guy's like, "What if we added windows?" And then the guy is being thrown out of the window. I feel like instead of that, it goes like, "And we'll make targeted changes to fix Druid and make it more viable." Good. And then it flips over to that where that guy should be sitting down and he was like sick that day, so nobody said anything and they're like, "Great, makes sense. Send it out."
We did it. Mission accomplished.
Hats off, boys. But yeah, it's a bit confusing, but ultimately I think maybe that's a stay tuned type thing for season 4, mid-season balance patch. I don't know.
Yeah, it is disappointing to see. Obviously, I've expressed my love for Druids, and to have a build, and we talked pre-show, it was not the best build, right? By any means. It was outpaced by so many other ones, but it still felt good. And to lose that, like those mid-tier builds, to lose those feels worse than losing something from the top, because there's always going to be something else that rises up there, but something that's just okay, or well, a little better than okay, but to lose that is unfortunate. And so I guess that does beg the question. They fix strafe, and Shockwave goes down. Is the strafe fix for Amazon worth losing Shockwave for Druid?
That's a little bit rough. So if I try to if I try to be objective, like I take my biases out of it, Shockwave Druid served a very similar function to Tornado Druid. You had a slightly clunkier version where you had to shapeshift and then teleport and then reshapeshift. But what you gained was a massive amount of survivability and crowd control. So you were a little bit slower, but safer. Realistically, you could just take Tornado Druid and build it tankier and slower and get a similar effect. I'm not saying that they're equivalent, but technically, it basically meant that the Druid had two very, very similar builds. Now, that being said, the Druid has Fury Druid and Maulbear, which are very similar builds. They use the same gear, but that's a whole other argument. Strafe was like so close to feeling good that for a while I didn't even notice that it wasn't working like it was supposed to. Like they're like, hey, strafe is better. I played a strafe song. I was like, this is really good. I'm really tanky. It's like not difficult. Sorry, somebody. Oh, jeez. So,
Wait,
sorry about that.
are we on Twitch right now?
I didn't know that was going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah,
Hey, thanks. Thanks to whoever that was. I appreciate you in the
I
future. For people who don't know, somebody just I like followed my Twitch channel, and because I'm using certain
was
applications, it came through my audio, and I was not expecting that. But
it's a first, and I think it's awesome, so.
sorry. So it felt good, and then when it came to light that it wasn't actually working as intended, I was so excited for when they were going to fix it. Because Boazon, we were having a really, really good discussion about the Boazon in my Discord channel, where somebody made the great point. They're a really big, they're a cool person in the community. I'm not going to blow up their spot in case they don't want to be talked about on a podcast. But they said, for the amount of investment you have to put into a Boazon and how effective they are at clearing stuff, that should be the gold standard for what an S-tier build is. For people who don't know, building a physical Boazon, it's literally not good until you have best in slot gear across the board. And then it's pretty good, but it's still worse than like Lightning Fury Jevazan, Blizzard Sorceress, Hammerdin, etc. It's a really, really powerful build, but it's the cost of it is ridiculous. And I just really like this idea of like a high skill, high investment build should be the gold standard for S tier, which I agree with. And Strafe now probably isn't S tier, but it's a really high A tier build. And I think that's good. Like, I think it's good that that happened. And it stinks that Shockwave got gutted. But I'd rather builds get intentionally stronger and more balanced. Kind of like they said, rather than us having to deal with an unintuitive bug that nobody knows is happening until like somebody accidentally figures it out. And then it's kind of still only middle class. It's still only a mid-tier build, which like I don't know. So the cosmic scales, I don't know if I can give you that answer, but it's great that they finally fixed Strafe and that's going to be a great A-tier build. So
Okay, so we can talk about the Amazon. Jabazon's still going to be the best,
oh yeah.
but you mentioned Strafe kind of mixing things up a bit. Am I going to be able to do it in hardcore? Am I going to be able to make this work?
Strafe? Oddly, like Strafe is actually like really, really tanky. Early game strafe, probably not. I wouldn't do it. But late game strafe, I personally use an upped Barisa because I'm a Barisa elitist. I don't like the Wind Forest. But in upped Barisa, you use Vampire's Gaze, and you can either run Dracul's Grasp to apply Life Tap, or if you just have enough Life Leech from the rest of your gear, you can use Atmas to apply amp damage. And I have a video where I had like a 30 PDR strafe Amazon just standing in the middle of players 8 cows, not moving at all, just holding down right click and strafing. And regardless of how many cows were hitting me, I immediately full healed all of my life and just mow them all down. So of all the Boazon builds, strafe is arguably the tankiest because you can apply life leech and damage more consistently faster. So yes, if you're good, you can do hardcore Boazon. So
never mind, I got you. I've always been intrigued by a Boazon. I like using bows from time to time. I've just never been able to make it work. So mm-hmm. I've seen the strafe changes. I was a little intrigued, but clearly if I have to be good, it's not going to happen.
Or you just put a bulwark on it and now you're, and now the gear is good. And now you, yeah, actually, I take it back. Now it's just a skill issue, but no. I can build you a hardcore strafe build if you want to see it.
I do. So please, I need everything. So Amazon aside, the other bigger news, and you talked about it earlier, is the sorceress.
They nerfed the sorceress. Hold on real quick. They nerfed the sorceress. They nerfed cold sorceress. What? Okay. So the math is actually pretty easy to understand. The change is, back before they did anything, when a monster's immunity was broken, either by infinity or lower resistance, or by having a sunder charm, cold mastery, the very unique skill that says minus enemy cold resistance, worked 100%. So if you had minus 150 resistance and the monster was broken by a sunder charm, that means that the monster had minus 55 resistance. And that's way too strong. It's way too strong. Now, I was fine with it, but it was way too strong compared to fire and lightning that needed much, much stronger gear to pale in comparison to it, basically. The cold sorceress in elemental build arguably didn't even need infinity, the poster child hallmark item for elemental builds. Now, if a monster's resistance is broken, either by a Sunder Charm, in Conviction Aura, or lower resistance, Cold Mastery, just like all of those other things I just said, is only 1/5 effective. So that means if you have minus 150 enemy resistance through Cold Mastery, you only lower their resistance by 30. So if you have a Sunder Charm, which brings them down to 95, your minus 150 enemy res brings them down to 65 resistance. That means they're only taking roughly 1/3 of your damage, whereas before they would be taking 150% of your damage. That's a massive, massive change. What this basically means is that, what's like an example I can use? If you used 3-piece Talrasha's set with the weapon, for fire and lightning, you would get minus 15 enemy resistance. When an item says minus 15 enemy resistance, that's 100% effective. So if they're broken by a Sunder Charm and you have minus 15 resistance on Talrasha's, that means that the monster now has 80 resistance. To get to that same level of effectiveness with Cold Mastery, you need skill level 12 Cold Mastery. That's not that hard to get to in the end game. It's very hard to get to in the early game because Blizzard has 3 synergies that you need to max out. So it's an 80-point build before you put points into Teleport, Telekinesis, into Static Field, Frost Armor, Warmth, anything like that. 80 points just to synergize the skill. So now you need to be around level 90 to get to a skill level effectiveness of 3-piece Talrasha's set for Fire and Lightning. So it's really evened up the playing field in Terra Zone farming and against immunities. Against non-immune monsters, doesn't matter. It doesn't change how fast you farm Mephisto. Doesn't matter how fast you farm the majority of stuff in Chaos Sanctuary. It doesn't matter how fast you kill stuff in Bale Waves, other than Dark Lords, but nobody cares about that. I'm the only person who has nightmares about trying to kill them. And it brings the Cold Sorceress into line with the other Sorceress builds for the start of the season, when we're talking about farming different areas. Against Mephisto, they were all kind of the same. Blizzard Sorceress was just easier. In Chaos Sanctuary, they were all kind of the same. Lightning Sorceress really couldn't kill Vizier. Fire Sorceress really couldn't kill Infector. Cold Sorceress really couldn't kill Lord Dissay. She had to depend on your Mercenary. With the changes to Sunder Charms, or with the addition of Sunder Charms and the fact that they didn't nerf Cold Mastery, Blizzard Sorceress was just everything, no matter what. There was no reason to run anything else, realistically. Now, you have to make a decision. So that was a lot. TLDR, you're not as broken on a Cold Sorceress when fighting immunes, especially in Terror Zones. And if you want to have a strong enough Cold Mastery to outpace Lightning or Fire, you probably need to be either Frost Nova or Frozen Orb, since those skills only have one synergy, or Frost Nova has two synergies. But either way, they're only 40 and 60 point builds, so you'll actually have enough points to max out your Cold Mastery to gain an advantage. So now you're actually making a choice, as opposed to just putting one point into Cold Mastery, maxing out Blizzard, destroying the entire game. So I think it's a really good, I think it's a really healthy change. The funny part is, back when they added Terror Zones, before they added Sunder Charms, I'd put out a ton of videos that were covering, like, here are the things that you can do to lower monster resistances to be able to farm on different elemental builds. And then when they added Sunder Charms, everybody was like, good job doing all that math. It was a waste of time. I did more math to be like, here's what you can do to capitalize on Sunder Charms to get the biggest bonus out of it. And then they left Cold Mastery like it was, and everybody's like, good job, you wasted your time doing all this math. So now that they've made this change, those videos are kind of relevant again. So self-plug, maybe go check them out. I don't remember the titles. They probably had some, you know, super, like, you know, catchy title, like, is this the death of fire or something? They had some clickbait title, probably. I'm sorry, I wish I didn't have to do clickbait, but, you know, sometimes you have to.
Well, you know, teach us how to do it, and we'll start clickbaiting as best we can as well.
people love clicking videos about the Sorceress. You could literally just put the words Sorceress question mark, and your comments will just be filled with, like, the Sorceress isn't real. You'll have a great time.
The title for this one is Macrobio Boy Destroy Shockwave Druid in D2.
Single-handedly.
Slick. Watching this, it's the truth. You didn't kill the Blizzard Sorc, though, so there's that.
I didn't. This wasn't me. I didn't argue for or against this. I think it's a really, really good change. Again, I think it points to them hearing what the community said, and they're like, you know what? Because back when they added the Sunder Charms, you can go read the patch notes. They go, you know what? We looked at the Blizzard Sorceress, and we don't think that she has an unfair advantage, basically. Yeah, I'm not quoting them directly. Then everybody was like, what do you mean? And now this patch, they go, you know what? Heck, they might not even agree, but they're like, you all are saying that this is a problem, so we'll change it, and we'll see what it looks like. And I like that.
So, you know, kind of in that vein here of recognizing things that could be changed and looking a little bit ahead, if they're willing to do stuff like this, what is something that you would like to see them change to shake things up even more?
They should remove... All right. For the people who already know this, they already know what I'm about to say. In this game, to hit a monster, you need... basically to have more attack rating than they have defense, and you need to be higher level than them. One of those two things you can control, which is how much attack rating you have. One of those things you can't control, which is whether or not you're higher level than the monster. The Ubers in this game are level 110. You can never be higher level than them. That means that regardless of how much attack rating you have, or ignore target defense, which doesn't work on them, or minus target defense, which only works at half effectiveness for them, or minus defense per hit, which is on like three items, you will never have a 95% chance to hit them because you are 11 levels lower than them at level 99. This isn't going to magically solve the game's issues, but if the chance to hit calculation just said, do you have more attack rating than they have defense, as opposed to looking at your level compared to their level, you would see a drastic change in the build space of items, of gear. Every character wouldn't have to use grief just because it also says ignore target defense. Every class wouldn't have to put Ethrunes into its weapons to get minus target defense. You wouldn't need to have 20,000 attack rating on a Boazon to have a 95% chance to hit. It would drastically, drastically change the landscape that they could then develop into. New rune words could just say more damage, more cool abilities, more different auras, more elemental damage types, because it doesn't also have to say ignore target defense and plus 300% attack rating and minus target defense. Like, the skills that we have would become so much stronger. Battle cry from the barbarian, which reduces monsters' defense by a percentage. The Act 5 mercenary that casts battle cry. Inner sight on the Amazon, which is a flat reduction to monsters' defense. These skills become more powerful by proxy of the fact that they are more influential on the total attack rating calculation. Now, I will say, from what I understand from the developers, making this change would be very, very challenging. That's all I'll say. This game is a very old game with a lot of ridiculous coding that's all toppled on top of one another. So it would be very difficult. But I think that is the single most powerful change that they could make to the game that would then enable so much other design space to become available for additional future changes. That's my boop, boop, boop right there.
That sounds awesome. Second vote. So we did it. We'll make it happen now.
There we go.
You can kill a Shockwave Druid and then
I will kill the hit chance calculation.
There you go. I think you just need a few videos. Maybe two. Multiple.
Two. A couple, which is typically two.
I guess if we want to get into semantics. However, you'd be able to make this happen based on current trends. So we've been talking a while. We know this patch and the ladder reset is happening on the 16th. This entire conversation has me just excited to go play some D2R right now. Like, I might just log off and just go do that right after we're done. No, I need to wait. I want the fresh experience because it's not going to be as good. So what are your plans?
Oh, I'm sorry. We have to touch on two things really quickly. Okay. And I won't grandstand as much as I typically do. they made it so that traps benefit from minus enemy resistance. This is incredibly powerful. Previously, all you had was infinity or lower resistance. Now on a trap scene, you're able to run Griffins, Crescent Moon. And this means that you're finally going to get monsters down into negative resistances once you're on endgame gear, which is going to drastically, drastically increase the effectiveness of the assassin across the early, mid, and late game. That's phenomenal. Wake of Fire Assassin is also going to be much stronger because you're able to stack so much minus enemy fire resistance that it's absolutely going to be one of the better builds, especially for elite sniping. Ooh. And they made a really big change to the fact that plus elemental skill damage, at least for Fire Mastery, is going to now double dip on ranged attacks. It used to only work for melee attacks. Now it works for ranged attacks. Again, I'm going to have a bunch of videos talking about this. Sorry for all the self plugs, but this is actually like a secret, wicked, cool change that not a lot of people are tuning into yet. And Fire Enchant Demon Machine Crossbow Sorceress is arguably one of the strongest fire builds in the game now, and absolutely destroys all content on players 8 regardless of immunities, as long as you have a Sunder Charm. It's disgusting. I've been testing it out a lot on stream recently by kind of hacking together a bunch of different stuff. It's bananas. And then if they actually make it so that all elemental damage double dips on ranged attacks across all builds, you're going to see a huge power increase on everybody that like Ice Bow is on, Fire Bow is on, any of like the weird bow paladin builds that people like to do, even like Throw, War Shrike, Dual Dream Sorceress, which is a wild build to say out loud. But this actually is like a lot of really, really cool. Heck, even like plus two poison damage on Blade Fury Assassin. That's really not going to change anything, but it's a cool idea. It has a lot of implications depending on what they've actually implemented, and we'll have to test it. But if I didn't talk about those two things really quickly, somebody would yell at us. But Trapsin is wicked powerful, and double dipping on ranged attacks might create like whole new metas of ranged builds that are good. So there we go. I just want to make sure we talked about those.
Yeah, and I'm super stoked for that. I think at the moment I'm leaning towards a Trapezin, as I kind of mentioned before. But I might just mess up and roll a druid right away, because that's what I know.
You're scrolling across the campfire. The druid is like right on the right, and you're like, or you're going over to the assassin, and you're like, yeah, that's far enough. Boom, druid. There we go.
This is what I know.
And I'm typing in a name, and oh no, I'm clicking the hardcore skull and bones, and oh no, I clicked ladder. What happened? I'm level 28.
I'm going to rediscover that Shockwave doesn't work again. I need to just see it in person. Like, oh, that's right. And then I'll make the assassin.
You'll make the assassin.
You know, I'll get there. So my plans aside, what are you going to be doing on the 16th?
I'm going to be playing this game for like 36 hours straight. We're trying to push World First 99 again. Teo is going to be the character that we're actually pushing, if you don't know. We were the group that got World First 99 in Season 1. That was Teo as well. It was a fitting tribute to our friend who had passed away. And then, Season 2, we worked with Llama. And then in Season 3, again, we're all going to be working together, but we're trying to push for World First 99, which basically means I need to walk around with like a spirit sword, a hat that I put like a perfect ruby in, and some boots I bought from Charcy for like 36 hours while we do endless bail runs and then like endless Terra Zone farming where I just walk around and give everybody Salvation Aura. So that's my plan. Sounds fun, I know. After that, I actually intend on being like pretty aggressive this season. I normally don't get into the key farming, torch farming, currency generation, and then trading for endgame gear. Like, that's not typically my play style. But what it also means is that, like, I can't typically entertain a lot of people who are looking for someone to be that try hard, to like go that hard in the season. So I'm thinking about taking my paladin, making a budget Uber smiter, doing Ubers for people, generating currency, and then building that demon machine crossbow sorceress that I was just talking about, because that build is nuts. It's so good. It's actually a little bit too strong. I think it might be broken, but
I'm looking forward to seeing that, because I refuse to play sorceress, but I will watch people play them.
But I'll watch them. This one's cool. It uses enchant and just shoots a crossbow real slow at monsters and one-shots players 8 cows. It's very, very satisfying.
I want to see it. I don't want to play it, but I want to see it.
Okay. I'll send you a link.
I'll be tuning in for that. I want to catch that. And then obviously, where can everybody find you?
I'm at MacroBioBoy on everything. That's MacroBioBoy, MacroBioBoy. TikTok, Twitter, Facebook groups, which I never post to, I'm sorry, but like nobody posts their Facebook groups. Instagram, Twitch, YouTube. I'm thinking about starting up my own newspaper and just handing it out to people like you used to see in the old 1930s movies. No, but
MacroBioBoy on Twitter.
Do I sound like I'm on an old time radio? So MacroBioBoy at everything. For people who've like never hung out in my community or perhaps don't know about my community, we're just like really cool people. I like to try to answer as many questions as I can, as often as I can. If you're somebody who's looking for like really in-depth analysis and you don't want me to just rant for like 40 minutes, it's better to jump into my Discord, because at least there you're not stuck watching me rant for 30 minutes. I have to, there's a character limit, so I have to type it out shorter. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
And, you know, we talked a little bit pre-show, but you've been making some good strides. Your community is growing. Your channel is
growing.
Thank
you very much.
And if you have not tuned in or watched any of Macro's videos, you absolutely should. I spent a lot of time shitting on you about the werebear. This is where I make up for it. Every video that I've watched, I've walked away feeling like I have learned something, and that is cool. Because again, this game has been around for 20 years. I'm picking up new things constantly, and that is awesome. I do enjoy it. Like I want to watch you play the crossbow sorceress, but I'm intrigued by hearing about how it works, because I'm not just going to see, like, just put this equipment in, right? And then, you know, choose these skills. You're going to break down the math behind it, why it works, how it works. And that to me is just as exciting as reading a gear list, because I can read a gear list anywhere.
I appreciate that.
But like, I like this being able to do that.
This is warming my heart. For people very specifically like you, in the video, I actually put a timestamp that just says deep nerd mechanics. So at the beginning of the video, it's just like some gameplay. I show people the gear in case they already know what they need to know for it. And then I'm just like, okay, but hey, are you like, do you want to hear numbers in mechanic? Here you go. You're right here. This 5 minutes is for us. Cause I can't go more than 2 seconds without over-explaining something, which is why I like coming on this podcast. You let me do that a lot, and I really appreciate it.
Well, I think it's informative, and I like it. So if anything, it's like I get my own personal lesson. So I do appreciate it. But you did kill the werebear. So ebb and flow. Well, I think we should close, as we always do, with a moo, moo, moo.
Moo, 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 moo.